What is up, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of the Telling Stories podcast. I'm John Paul.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm nervous. Very nervous.
Yeah, you got something big going on tomorrow.
Yeah, everybody, I'm getting eye surgery tomorrow. But not like, you know, like real surgery. It's LASIK. It takes like 2 minutes.
It's a voluntary one.
It's voluntary. It's very expensive. It drained my entire bank account. But I've wanted it.
You don't have to buy glasses anymore.
Well, I've had these ones for 6 years.
Yeah, they were chewed on by a dog, and you're still just wearing them. Like, there's motivation. No,
seriously, it's motivation to get LASIK. That's why I didn't buy any.
You didn't buy new glasses? You're like, I just want my vision to be shitty with the glasses so yeah. I can justify it.
Well, there's like the back part of this, I don't know,
the arm.
The arm, yeah, the arm of the glasses is missing. There's like a little piece that was missing. And when the dog chewed it, he chewed all the black off and there was like a metal spike.
He chewed all the plastic and left you the metal bar.
Yeah, but it's like a fucking spike. Like, it's not like a little flat piece. It would like stab me. So I had to like shave it down. Like I was a blacksmith in the old days. It was pretty cool.
But now you're getting LASIK. That's exciting. They're going to give you Valium. That's
I don't
fun.
Think they do.
No?
I don't think they do.
They don't give you anything?
No, because I was asking them. They're like, hey, what do I get? And they're like, we'll give you some Tylenol. And and then we'll stick a plunger to your eye so you can't move it. And then we'll do the surgery. I was like, oh my God.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I might cancel. I just won't show up.
Valium's wild. I've been on Valium once on my last surgery. And I wasn't even supposed to get it. But a doctor, a quote-unquote doctor, he was, you know, intern.
Okay.
Gave me a panic attack.
Nice.
Like 10 minutes before my surgery. Because I was getting that, they were cutting into my abdomen to go look around. It was, you know, one of those types of fun procedures.
Yeah,
and
everybody has those.
Oh, yeah. And they're just like, yeah, so it's the intern for the anesthesiologist.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, so we're going to put you under. We're going to probably have to intubate you while you're under. And if you don't know what intubation is, that's where they shove the tube down your throat and force you to breathe.
It's like, hey, we're going to do the most horrible thing you can imagine while you're sleeping.
And like, when they say you're like, you're going to do it when you're out, I'm like, okay, that's fine. But then he's like, and then after the surgery, we're going to wake you up, make sure you can work through these different things, and then we'll take the tube out. And I'm like, what?
No, that sounds awful.
I'm like, I'm going to be awake?
That's...
And he's like, well, yeah, but I mean, it's standard procedure. And I'm already hooked up to the heart monitor and everything. And all of a sudden, you start hearing beep, 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 beep. And it's picking up speed. Blood pressure cuff is filling up, and it just keeps filling up.
Yeah, familiar with that.
And I'm like, oh, no. And at that point, the attending walks in, the attending anesthesiologist, and goes, oh, are you a little nervous? I'm like, yeah, this guy just told me that I'm going to be awake when you take the tube out, and that sounds horrible. I don't want to do that. Can you not do that? And I've never seen a doctor look so pissed.
I've seen plenty of pissed doctors in my time. In my line of work, I've seen plenty of pissed doctors.
She turns to her intern and goes, we typically don't tell the patient about that because they don't remember it because of the anesthesia. And he looks at her and goes, what? Am I supposed to lie to my patients?
100%. You're supposed to lie. They, you know, that's
and she goes, get out.
Yeah.
Get out of my OR.
You don't tell them you're going to lie to them. Like, I had a lot of patients ask me, like, hey, is this going to hurt? And I'm like, no.
No.
No, it doesn't hurt at all, but it does.
In my experience,
it's very painful.
If they say, you know, oh, it's just a prick, that means this is going to hurt. And if they're like, hey, this is going to hurt, you're in for a treat, my friend.
You know, we were trained not to say it's just a prick. No, for real. Like, they told us not to say that. Because it was too sexual.
Stop.
I swear to God. They're like, it can be misconstrued.
But yeah, after that, real quick to just wrap that up. After I started having my panic attack, she's like, here, you're going to take this. And then 3 minutes later, I'm like, you guys can cut my leg off if you want to.
Yeah, like anything's fine.
Everything's fine at that point. But really, they thought just a prick was too sexual. Mm-hmm. Granted, yeah. That's really funny.
When I was trained how to do blood, they're like, never say this to anybody. They're also like, never say she's a squirter when you like poke a vein and blood's coming out. And I was like, sir, I would never say that anyway. That is incredibly offensive. You can't say that, you know?
No, you can't.
And he would like say it all the time because he wasn't a doctor or anything. He was just some guy that like taught us. So
that makes me feel so comfortable.
He was really good at it. He was really good at finding veins. And your blood should never just squirt out.
No.
Unless, you know, well, I mean, it'll leak out. But if you hit an artery, then it will fly across the room.
Yeah, I had that happen once.
Yeah. I've never hit an artery because I'm really good at it, but I've seen people do it.
Well, and you've seen the veins in my arms.
Yeah.
You could probably hit those in the dark, right?
100% I could. I could get a huge needle in there. And, you know, the funny thing is everyone I talk to would be like, every time I go to the hospital, they say my veins are small and they roll, and they don't. I'm telling you, if you think your veins are small and they roll, they don't.
Yeah, unless you're 97 years old with diabetes.
Yeah, if you have like diabetes, you're super super old, your kidneys are destroyed, you get dialysis, maybe. But if you're like under the age of 90 and they said your veins are small and they roll, they don't. You just had a bad phlebotomist. They were just really bad, and that's why they missed.
See, so the one time I went to the hospital, when they hit an artery, and they weren't supposed to hit the artery.
Normally you're not.
No, typically not. And when they do, like, when they plan on it, it definitely, you know, and it hurts.
It hurts bad.
It hurts so bad. But, in walks in the phlebotomist, and she has, I'm just going to call him Frat Boy Chad.
Nice.
Because that's what he looked like.
Okay.
And, like, you know, he had that build like he used to play football.
Right, right.
And he had the haircut that was, like, it was blonde from the sun.
Yeah. That's what they say. And he's, like, he's still eating like he plays football, but he doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah,
me too. And he's still got the attitude as if he's still the captain of the football team.
Right.
And, you know, the phlebotomist looks at me and goes, you know, this is one of our new trainees. Do you mind if he sets your IV? And I've been poked 1,000 times, like quite literally 1,000 times. I don't give a shit. As long as you do it right.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. So I'm like, yeah, just don't screw it up.
Dude, I swear to God, if you came in to my hospital and you said you get one shot, I would miss on purpose, because that is, there's nothing quite like that. Like a person.
It wasn't like that. It was just more like a,
it's like, hey, please don't mess up.
Please don't screw this up. Yeah. My day's been bad enough because I'm here.
Yeah. Some people are really mean. They're like, you get one shot. Then you have to go get your boss. I was like, all right.
Well. Yeah, I'm totally going to get my boss and not one of the other people who has the exact same position as me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, you know, he literally struts up to the cart that has like the needle and like the line and everything. Like, he's got this swagger about him, like he's done this 1 billion times.
Right.
And I think I was the first person he ever poked, because he poked and I look away because I'm a bitch.
You're right.
And I don't want to see it. Like, I can handle the poke, I just don't want to see things that are supposed to be inside my body leaving my body.
Okay.
That's why I don't look when I pee. But anyway,
real quick, while we had that break in the conversation, can I just say I'd never purposely missed on anybody. I always did a very good job. I was always very thorough and honest with how I did my work. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good clarification. So I'm looking away and he hits the, he goes into my arm. That's for sure. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right.
Yep.
And then he goes, uh-oh. And I hear,
psst. Oh, you can hear it. When you can hear it, that's when you know there's a problem.
I turn my head, and he has pulled the needle out, and I am arterial spraying all over my sheets. And I'm going, oh my God, I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
I'm bleeding. And he goes, he's got his hands over his head. He's holding he's got bloody gloves and the IV needle in his hand. And he looks at his supervisor. He goes, what do I do? What do I do?
Dude, that.
And I've got my hand clapped on the wound, like, please make this stop. The other phlebotomist steps in and she goes, don't worry, I'll do the next one. And she's taping me up. I'm like, you're goddamn right, you'll do the next one.
Yeah, don't let him near me.
Oh, be nice to him. It's his first day. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I look like I'm a character from the fucking Carrie movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Covered in my own blood. That's not how I really saw today going.
This reminds me of the time that my coworker broke my finger at work. Because it's very similar elements to this story. I was helping out in this one area that was busy, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't really busy. It was actually kind of late at night. It was after midnight. Okay.
It was like 3-4 in the morning because I got text messages.
Yeah, well, so I went to break at 1, mm-hmm. and it happened right before I went to break. So I was helping them clean up stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the laceration cart has like a bunch of drawers on it, and they were jammed. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll try to fix the jam. I'll help you out. And I got my fingers
good
in
guy
there.
John, just yeah. stepping in there.
I'm just a hero, you know? And so I'm like digging around trying to get the jam fixed, and I fix it. But my coworker, who I don't know if she wants me to say her name, so I'm not going to say it.
But we hope you're listening.
Yeah, I know you're listening. I know. And she's pulling on it with all of her strength. And she literally, she pulls it open, right? And my fingers get stuck between like the front of the cart and like the back drawer. And it hurt so bad. It sounded like a gunshot went off. Like that's how hard she like pulled it open, you know? And I was like, oh, like I was like holding my fingers and everyone's laughing because they think it's super funny. And then like
they don't realize
what just happened. And I open up my hand and a bunch of blood falls on the floor and they go, oh, my God. And it's bleeding like a lot. OK, so like the nail on my ring finger, like literally split in half. You saw the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I saw the picture.
It like split in half. OK. And I was like, can you guys get some gauze, please? Because I'm bleeding all over the floor. And they go, and I'm like, you work in the emergency room. Go get the goddamn gauze. You know where it's at. Like, you just broke me with the laceration cart.
Didn't they break you with the place with the gauze?
Yeah. So I was like, go get me the gauze. You know, because I was bleeding everywhere. Like, it bled a lot. And they couldn't find it. And I'm just, like, holding it. I'm like, I'll find it. Literally, the first drawer I opened, there's a bunch of gauze in there. And I was like, is this so hard to find? They're like, we're sorry.
So you texted me those pictures.
Yeah.
And I immediately texted the person who did it.
Yeah.
With the gif of Deadpool leaning over going, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, that's super funny. So I had to get checked in to my work.
That's great.
Yeah, and they had to do x-rays.
At least they didn't bill your insurance.
Yeah, I guess. So the doctor came up to me and said, hey, just so you know, you're lucky that hit the fingernail. Because if that hit the joint on your actual finger, that would have popped your fingertip off.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, if it had enough force to crack your nail like that, it would have popped that joint right off your body. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's really awful. That's really awful.
Do you remember when I broke my my pinky? I got kicked in the hand playing soccer. And yeah. I just snapped it pointing the other direction.
Yeah, dude, you can't do shit like that. It's not good.
No, it wasn't.
You've reset your shoulder a couple times, too.
Yeah.
That is 100% not what you're supposed to do. I know a lot of people do it, and it looks super badass, but you're going to mess something up in there.
Dude, the last time I did it, the joint's just jacked up because it's been dislocated enough times.
Yeah, the joint is jacked up because you keep putting it back yourself. You can't be doing that.
Shut up, science nerd. It's fine.
You got to have somebody do it for you.
Ain't you ever watched Chronicles of Narnia?
Yeah, which one?
The guy, the second one where he's doing like the
Prince Caspian.
Yeah, Prince Caspian when he's doing like the fight to the death with the other king guy and like he comes over and his shoulder's out and his brother just yanks it back in. See, it's fine.
Yeah, there's a talking lion in that movie. There's also, like, talking mice and, like, otters and shit.
Also, yes.
It's not...
The last time I did it, I was asleep, and I had a nightmare.
Oh.
And when I tried to fling myself out of bed, I slipped because I didn't have, like, all the force to throw myself out of the bed because I'm asleep. And I came down on the shoulder and I just hear
And I'm half asleep. And I'm like, God.
Dude, just please.
The swelling's not that bad yet. If I get it back in the next 5 minutes, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
The sounds that it makes are horrifying. We'd have to like reset people's bones and stuff in the hospital. And when these doctors would do it, they'd do like powerlifting on the on these people to get the, you know, the bones back in place. And when it went in, it was like,
yeah,
and it would be
or like
loud.
It sounds like biting into an apple.
Yeah, and I would go, like it was so gross, but it was so cool. Loved
yeah,
it.
When I put mine back in, I'm like half asleep. I put my knee up and I force my hand onto my kneecap. I brace my elbow and I just push my foot off the wall. And I just heard, and I was like, okay, I think that's enough. And then I went back to sleep. And I woke up the next morning and my shoulder hurt like shit.
Yeah, I wonder why. You got bone fragments in your muscles, that's why.
And I'm like, that's not good. And I'm like, well, I'll do what my grandpa did when he dislocated his shoulder.
I want you to know, taking medical advice from an old person is never what you're supposed to do.
Well, my grandpa was the type, or is the type, that, you know, he's a World War II vet.
Yeah, 100%. The stop right there. He's probably like, go somewhere where there's lots of asbestos. It's good for you. Smoke a cigarette. You know.
Well, when he dislocated his shoulder, he didn't want any of his grandkids to see him in pain. So he wouldn't wear the sling that he desperately needed.
Oh.
Instead, he'd take his thumb and hook it in his pant loop.
Oh, okay.
And that would like brace it enough where he could like not cry.
The old Matt Stafford did that through a touchdown.
Exactly. So that's what I was doing, but I'm like every time I step, I'm like, this is madness.
Yeah. Very painful.
This is super painful. And my mom sees me wincing and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I put my shoulder back yesterday. She's like, put it back?
Where'd it go?
I'm like, yeah, it's let out. It's fine. And she's like, no, you need to go like to the hospital. And I'm like, that's not gonna happen because I pay for all my medical bills.
I'm not going there.
So I broke down. I went to like CVS and I bought, please sponsor us,
yeah, CVS, let's go.
And bought like, it was like a $10 sling. It was like a toy basically.
Okay.
I put my arm in that and I had to go to a staff meeting, and I walked in and my boss goes, what the hell happened to you? And I'm like, well, my shoulder popped out, but it's fine. And he's like, Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to this meeting.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't care.
Like, oh, whatever.
But one of my coworkers was from Canada, where they have socialized medicine.
Okay.
And when I walked in, and she's like, what the hell happened? And I'm like, pop my shoulder back in, like, run her through the story. She's like, oh, my God. Go to the doctor. I'm like, all right, Bill Gates,
yeah,
why don't you pump your brakes for a second,
Bezos,
and think about how much
down.
That's going to cost.
Let me just sell my Amazon stock and go to the doctor.
Yeah, so she's like, you have to go see a doctor. And I'm like, fine. She's like, I will literally drive you to a doctor. I'm like, no, I got it. Like, I'm going to go to urgent care, which is almost a doctor.
They're fine.
They're fine. And they're, you know, the doctor walks in after I had told the nurse what happened. And the doctor, I tell her, and she's like, hey, just so you know, I'm not giving you any drugs.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I didn't ask for any. Like,
what kind of patients have you seen today? Is everything okay?
She's like, I'm just telling you, sir, there is no way you popped your own shoulder back into the socket. It would have been too painful. We'll do some x-rays, but you're getting zero painkillers from me. I'm like, whatever, just do the x-rays because this thing hurts. She comes back 10 minutes later after the x-rays. She's like, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
She's like, that shoulder was definitely out. She's like, it looks like it's fine now, but like, honestly, go see like an orthopedic doctor because it's got a lot of scar tissue. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, a specialist. That sounds cheap. I'd have more access flying to the moon than I do going to see a specialist.
Exactly. And so you know what I did?
You went home.
I went home.
Yeah. I remember I tore my rotator cuff. You remember when I did that working out? It's weird. It wasn't like torn, but it was like caught on another piece of the muscle. So it was basically felt like a torn rotator cuff. So mm-hmm. I went to physical therapy for it. Holy shit. That was painful. Okay.
Physical therapy, they're miracle workers, but God, at what cost?
Yeah. Like what? what? Who did they sell their soul to do this magic? So they do this thing called Rolfing, right? And when they said it to me, like, it was kind of funny, you know, because it's like, okay, that's a dumb name.
Turns out it's not funny.
No, it's not. It's some of the biggest pain I've ever experienced. They take like a washcloth and wet it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then they basically scrape it really hard over your entire body. Like they're pressing down as hard as they can and like moving it across the entire like spot that's affected. And when you have a torn rotator cuff and they're doing that, it is the worst pain I've ever experienced. Like I was almost killed in a car accident.
And this was still worse?
This was... at least twice as bad. Dude, I almost peed my pants. I almost peed my pants like a child when they were Rolfing my shoulder. And I was like, I was tearing up. And I was like, please.
He's sweating.
Yeah, I'm like, please don't pee. Please. And the lady is like, are you okay? Do you need something? I'm like, can we just take a break? Can we just take a five?
just 5 minutes.
Can we just take a five?
I ended up going to physical therapy for that shoulder like 6 months after because I was still having problems.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And I had gone to my PCP, which is a wild concept for like our age demographic, like that I actually have one.
Yeah,
Most people call that the ER.
So I had one. I had one. And I was like, hey, dude, I've got like some serious stuff going on. He's like, you know, I'm not really worried about it. And I was like, okay, but I am. Because I know it's not how it's supposed to be. He's like, I'm not really worried about it. You can have a good day. And so I left. And
Don't forget to pay your copay.
Yeah, and then he retired, which I basically think was like he just didn't want
to deal with it.
He just didn't want to deal with it anymore. So I haven't been to one since.
I was getting lots of muscle spasms in that rotator cuff because of the damage from the dislocated shoulder. And my doctor was like, all right, well, we're going to give you this prescription for this gel. And that gel was...
Icy Hot?
Huh?
Icy Hot?
No. So I'll get to which drug it was in a second, which gel it was, because I was really upset about it.
Okay.
Because this prescription was $1,000 a month.
Oh, my God. $1,000 a month.
And so expensive that when I turned in the script, insurance went... he doesn't need that.
Yeah, they also told me stuff like that too. Like, you don't need.
They're like, what do you really need it for? And I went back to my doctor the next week for some other stuff. I'm like, by the way, they wouldn't fill that script. I don't know what to do. And my doctor's like, hold on. I'm going to call the insurance company. I'm going to call their line and figure out what's going on. So he calls and he's like, he needs this prescription. And they're like, we don't think, he's got him on speakerphone. It's like, we don't think that he needs it. And he's like, that's great. I'm his doctor.
Yeah, they're like.
And I'm saying he needs it. And they're like, yeah, but our doctors. And he's like, hold on. The doctors that haven't seen him.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we've got this right. The doctors that haven't seen him then, think he doesn't need it.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, so we're not doing it.
It's funny because they'll make you go through all these other treatments that they know won't work, that your doctor's like, these won't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to go through it so the insurance company will pay for the medicine.
So they can just kick it down the road and hope you lose your job before you bill their insurance.
That's cool.
It's great.
I like that.
But yeah, my doctor's like, all right, if you're not going to give him this prescription, I'm going to write him a script for PT, and you can't tell him no on that. Because of some, I don't know, some weird doctor rules. And they're like, do it. He's like, do you understand how much PT is going to cost so much more than just 3 months of this gel that'll fix the problem in one shot? And they're like,
Nope,
send him to PT.
We're insurance.
We don't think he'll do it.
We don't understand anything.
We don't understand math.
Yeah.
So they send me to PT. And they ended up putting me through this, like, electro muscle therapy.
Oh, it's like a TENS machine. I don't know how to say it.
No, so it's not. It's like a TENS machine, but like way more powerful.
Oh, okay.
So a TENS machine basically cuts off the nerve.
Right.
So like it sends these electric shocks down to the nerve, and the nerve goes, I don't need to shoot like fire anymore. And it's supposed to relieve pain. This electro shock machine goes deeper and is a lot higher voltage, and they put it on the muscle, and it basically just shoots electricity in the muscle, and the muscle stops spasming.
Okay.
I have never felt something like this before. I sit down, they have me, you lay on this like heating pad, they put these sticky things on your back, and they're like, all right, I'll be back in 10 minutes. And then they turn this machine on, and I'm like,
you're like,
ah!
It's like electroshock therapy. You're like, slow me up.
And it feels like, it feels like little hairs are growing out of the muscle.
Oh my God.
It's into like, the pad.
It's like that scene from Taken, you know, when he leaves the power on when he's torturing that guy. That's what I equate most physical therapy sessions to. Like a scene, like Liam Neeson is just beating me up.
When I met with the physical therapist on the first day, my back has so many tight muscles in it. And my physical therapist, the one they had me assigned to, was 5'2", all of 103 pounds, like soaking wet.
Okay.
And I am 5'11", 250 pounds at the time. And she was trying to like work on the muscles like a massage therapy, and she literally couldn't get the leverage. So she's like, so I've got this student coming in. We're going to start your sessions next week, but he's 6'5", and yeah. And he's going to take care of that part of the therapy.
Dude, I used to do research in the physical therapy school building or whatever in college. And I worked with this one guy in the program, and he, like, everybody in the physical therapy program nowadays is jacked. All of them. All of them are jacked. I guess you have to be.
Yeah, because they do some wild stuff. He did this thing where he was like, you got a lot of compression in your spine from a plethora of other injuries that happen. He's like, I'm going to try and help those vertebrae stretch out. So he grabs this, like, foam wedge.
Okay.
And he puts it between the vertebrae and then just pushes down.
Ooh.
Yeah, didn't like that.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that.
And the whole time he's going down every vertebrae, I'm like, if one of these snaps, I'm not even going to be able to walk out of here.
Yeah.
I won't be in pain anymore.
That's true.
But I also won't be able to do anything else.
Yeah, I'm super worried that my spine is going to just shatter into dust. Like, and I don't even do anything, you know? Like, I don't do anything that would cause that to happen. So, like, I'll just be, like, sitting at my desk, and I'll, like, crack my back. I'm like, oh, there goes my spine. I'll just be on the floor, wasting away.
That's it. You're just done?
Yeah.
Yeah, back injuries scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I don't play with those.
Well, it hurts you forever. Yes, it literally does. Forever.
I was in the hospital once, and they brought in a lady who had ruptured 3 discs.
Oh, dude.
And it was the murder factory. We'll just refer to that hospital what it is.
Right, because they kill people there.
Because they do kill people there. They're really bad doctors. And they didn't give her pain medicine for 6 hours. I had the quote-unquote room next to her. I say quote-unquote because they still had one of those sheet walls. Like it was a fucking MASH unit.
Oh, dude, plenty of hospitals still have those sheet walls. In times of COVID, it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter. But yeah, so all I got to do was listen to her for 6 hours screaming. And they're like, we don't want to give you pain medicine until the x-rays come back. And like, when I walked past and she was like on her side, you could see the damage.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But if I saw that, if I walked into the room, no context, I'd be like, that looks like it hurts like shit.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I bet. Very astute way to go with that diagnosis there. No, I think it, like, the reasoning they don't like throw out painkillers like that. One, it's like, you know, addictive or whatever. But also it's like they can't give you a bunch of stuff And then the x-ray comes back, and then they're like, okay, we need to put them under, like, now.
Now, and do surgery, yeah.
But we can't without killing them because of all the stuff we gave them.
We just pump them with a shit ton of Dilaudid so yeah. that they don't bother us.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, I guess it's, you know, it's really unfortunate. It's just what you gotta do.
Those painkillers are scary. Because they're, like...
super great.
There's I don't want to glorify them because the opioid epidemic is horrible.
Oh, really bad. Really
but
bad.
Like with all the times I've had to be on them for various things, I've never been like, I really didn't like that experience.
Yeah,
I've never not been like, that was the greatest thing that has ever happened.
It's like, I could take it or leave it. You know,
no one has ever thought that about them.
No one's ever left it. Everyone's always like, this is pretty sweet.
And like the last time I was in the hospital where they got real willy-nilly with the painkillers, it was like before the media started picking up all the stories of like, hey, like thousands of people are ODing every day.
Right, right.
You know, they would give them out just so you wouldn't talk to them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. It used to be like the Wild West.
Oh, it was awful. So the one time I was in the hospital, I didn't have anyone with me because it was like middle of the week. And so it was like the daytime, I was fine to be on my own. I wasn't in like crisis. But they were pumping me full of painkillers because that's what hospitals did back then.
Right.
And the doctor walks in and they were still trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And they couldn't figure it out. So they were running tests for everything. Now, what the doctor didn't know was that the nurse was in not 5 minutes before shooting me up with a ridiculous amount of painkillers.
You know, he really should have known that. They're supposed to, like, chart that right away so things like this don't happen. They don't stop your breathing. they really should have known.
They should have. They didn't. And he walks in. And I was like, I had had them enough in this stay because it was like a weekend. This was like day four that I know I have like 15 minutes from the time they give me the injection to go to the bathroom and take a leak because otherwise I'm not going to be able to get out of bed and I'm going to piss myself.
Well, that's cool. So I bet those workers were like, oh, great. He pissed himself again.
No, I always beat the buzzer. I got to the bathroom before I was too high to get out of bed.
Okay.
So I'm on my way to the bathroom, and I know that the clock is ticking, and I can feel it. Like, I can feel it kicking, and I feel the haze coming over me.
You're like, my toes are strangely warm. I've got about 30 seconds to get out of this bathroom.
Exactly. So I'm standing up, and in walks the doctor. I'm like, shit. And he's like, hey, so I want to talk to you about one of the tests we want to run. I need you to sign this consent form. Now, for those of you who don't know, when you're under those types of pain medicine, you're not supposed to consent for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're really not. But he didn't know, so he thought it was fine. And I'm like, what are you testing for? And he goes, well, we've been checking for everything, and one of the tests we want to run is for AIDS.
He definitely didn't say AIDS. He said HIV.
He said AIDS. He said AIDS. And I'm like, and I wonder, like, looking back, I wonder if it was because, like, oh, he'll know that word. Like, maybe he's stupid and doesn't know what HIV is.
He'll know AIDS.
He knows the word AIDS. He's going to know the word AIDS. Everyone knows that one. And like, there's a reaction you're supposed to have to that. It's like when they say you might have cancer, like there's supposed to be an emotional reaction to it.
Yeah.
But I was high as shit on opiates that they had just shot me up with.
Right.
So I looked at them. I put my arm around my doctor, which you're not supposed to do.
They don't like it when you touch them.
And I went, doc, if I have AIDS, I'm going to be so pissed. And he goes, what?
And Benny's like, this is a very... Hey, you know what's funny? That's probably not the strangest thing to happen to him that day with a patient. I guarantee you he was like, this is weird, but I've seen worse 3 hours ago.
Exactly. And he's like,
are you okay? I'm like, man, I'm great. And he looks at me and he smiles and he goes, the nurse came around, didn't she? And I went, yeah, she did. He's like, you can't sign this. Go lay down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to go pee first. And he's like, no, you're not.
Dude, I can't tell you like how many times I'd see something during a shift. And I was like, well, that's the craziest thing I'll see today. And then literally 2 minutes later, I was wrong. I saw something crazier that day. Like, I really don't want to say it yet on the podcast, because I don't know if I can.
We gotta talk to our legal friends.
Yeah, we gotta talk to the legal team here at the Telling Stories podcast to see if I can share anything.
Which is basically just like one or two people that I know from a former job.
Yeah, and these people didn't even graduate law school. they're like barely involved in the field. You know,
they're close. They're adjacent.
Yeah, they're adjacent.
It's fine. So everything's fine.
But they don't charge us.
Exactly.
And that's really the buzzer beater. You know, like that's what we really need.
It's like my cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Exactly like that. Yeah. If you're a lawyer and would like to advise us for free, please let us know. Send us an email.
Please sponsor us.
Also, please sponsor us. We see those billboards you put up. We know you got money.
Yeah, we know that those aren't effective.
Yeah, you've been using the same billboards to talk about if you got injured at work. I know what you're doing.
That reminds me, thinking of sponsors, you know, we've actually been doing real good. You know, we've been doing real well this last week, first week of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
We're almost at 100 listens.
100,000 listens. Almost at 100,000 listens. We're super popular.
Yeah, we're almost at 100 listens, 100, and we got to give a special shout out.
Yeah, India.
India, we found out through some of our analytics that we run.
You guys are like killing it. You're like 40% of our views, which I got to be honest, I did not expect at all.
Yeah, there was a lot of things I came into this with expectations on, and that was not one of them.
Yeah, like way to go, India. You were always my favorite.
Exactly. So if you're a fan in India, and you want to just reach out, say hi, you want us to talk about something on the podcast that's relevant to you, shoot us an email at tellingstoriespc@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
We would love it.
Never been over there, so.
But we would be willing to accept some invitations.
I would love to come to your country.
Yes.
Especially for free.
Especially
for free. I hear you have good food.
We will tell you so many stories.
Yeah. You might hear some, like, ones you've already heard, because we don't have that many. But I'll share with you whatever you want.
It'll be great. It'll be fun. So thank you, guys. Also, thank you to our American listeners.
Yeah, you guys are, you're still the majority for now.
Barely, for now.
India's coming up.
They got like, don't they have like 2 billion people, something like that?
I don't know.
They've got a lot of people.
I think
so,
it's 1 billion.
1 billion? I think it's still, yeah. More than us.
I think they have more than China. I think India has the most people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is if we do well there.
I know. That's
like
where,
a seventh of the population.
That's where the money's
Let's
at.
Let's go.
That's where the money's at. Who needs America when you got India?
We love you, America. Please sponsor us.
Please, somebody. Please. I'm starving.
You know, that actually reminds me. You know, today we're shooting this on Inauguration Day. Which,
oh,
like,
yeah, new president.
New president, which, I mean, is cool. It doesn't really affect my day-to-day that much.
Nothing's going to change.
But I've been excited to see. So it's that first day. So the new president signed all those executive orders, undoing all the shit from the last guy.
Yeah, which is like, does our political system work?
I think this was what they intended.
Because, you know, the next guy is going to come in and just undo all the stuff that this guy does. Or girl. Could it happen?
We got a girl vice president now. We got a female vice president.
Way to go, women.
Good job. We did it.
You're not really in our demographics, so there's probably none of you listening. But
if you are listening, send us an email.
Send us an email. Tell us how much you listen. Tell all your friends.
Yes, and tell all your friends. Please share these on social media if you liked them. You know, we just want to keep growing this this little podcast into something fun that you can share with all your friends.
More importantly, we need money. We need your money. Like I said, I'm starving. I had two eggs for lunch. That's it. I had two eggs.
Just two eggs.
I couldn't even afford to like make them over easy. I had to scramble them. That's how little money I have. So please help us get more viewers. Please. We're so poor.
There was something though that does help us.
What's
that came in those executive orders. No student loan payments till September 30th.
They weren't getting them anyway. Sorry, but I'm doing a podcast. Things aren't looking great.
Things aren't going so well.
Yeah. It's been pretty rough on the home front.
There's talk of us getting another payment.
Oh.
I'm going to use it on fun shit, like healthcare and my rent.
Yeah. That's not really stimulating the economy.
No.
Not what it was meant to go for. I might buy a TV. You know, like I can't pay my rent, but
hey,
that money will buy a PlayStation 5.
And a killer TV.
Yeah, it would.
I think you should have bought that TV that you saw last weekend.
Which one?
The 75-inch.
We can be better.
We can go better. They're getting bigger.
I know.
I saw a 90-inch the other day.
Oh, that'd be so nice. Oh, I would love a giant TV.
Surround sound. Like, if I'm going to buy that TV, I'm going all out.
I don't even need surround sound. You know? Like, unless it's in a movie theater, I feel like in a house or whatever, it's very hard to do well.
I mean, yes. Unless you, like, designate a room for it.
Yeah. And you, like,
plan
it out.
Which I'm here for.
Oh, 100%. As soon as I have an extra room, I'd love to do that.
As soon as I have something that's not a one-bedroom apartment,
yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. You ever catch yourself, like, thinking about stuff that you want to do or buy, and you're like, wow, when I have even a little bit of room,
well,
that's going to be so cool.
I am getting older, so yes, I have thought about that. Like, man, it'd be so, so cool to have a garage, you know?
Like, what if not have to dust my car?
What if I had a dishwasher? Holy crap. That would be amazing. A washer and dryer? Forget about it. Forget about it.
That reminds me.
What if I had a dining room?
So
can you imagine if I had a dining room?
Are you going to put a TV in it? Because I don't think I could eat dinner anymore and not watch TV.
No, I've watched TV with my dinner for like 20 years. So
I can't wait until I can get like... And like, you can do it. I'm going to preface this by saying you can do it now, but I want a device designated to hang in my shower. So
like,
that I can still
like a TV?
Yeah. Like a TV or like one of those smart devices.
Dude, I don't need another reason to stay in the shower. I literally, so I wake up like 40 minutes before I have to wake up. Just like, so, you know, I get in the shower and most people can shower like very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I just like sit there and stare at the wall.
Are you okay?
Like, yeah. Yeah. I just, it's like warm water.
It's like, it's a place where you can go where nothing else matters.
Yeah.
But what does suck is when your hot water doesn't work.
Oh man. Do you remember the time when my dad destroyed my shower? Like, not even the hot water didn't work. The water didn't work. I woke up to like the sound of 1,000 drums, like just bellowing throughout my house. I'm like, what is going on? So I walk into the bathroom and my dad is in the shower. Like, he's not taking a shower. It's not one of those films. All right. So he's standing in the shower with his tools. There's literally a hole in the wall and he's just bashing stuff with his hammer. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? That's not what you do. He's like, the cartridge is wrong. I need to fix it.
Ted,
like,
you're not a plumber.
Yeah, he's definitely not. And the issue was our shower was just dripping a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like every now and then it would drip. And obviously he lost his mind. So he's like destroying it. And then like an hour later or 2 hours later, I had to go to work. I was like, Dad, I need to take a shower. He's like, well, just so you know, I destroyed the shower. So you're not, you can't take one. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, go look. And there's an even bigger hole. And there's like stuff is broken. Like tile is broken. I'm like, why did you do this? He's like, I just thought I could fix it. So we had to call a guy to come out. And this guy, he saw in the shower. He's like, oh my God, what happened? And my mom's like, my husband hit it with a hammer over and over trying to fix it. And he goes, yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. So it turns out the part he needed was only $20 at like Meijer or something. But this guy had to undo all the damage my dad did. It cost like $1,100.
Oh my god. That's...
yeah, $1,100.
That's fantastic.
$1,100.
I bet they loved that.
Oh, yeah. The plumber man that sure fixed their shower.
Like, he walked in and he was like, this looks like a problem, but looks like an expensive problem.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is good. I need to leave my card with these people.
I had a little incident here the other day with hot water. I was really upset. I had a meeting. And like before meetings, I do the same thing. Like an hour before I get in the shower, especially with like COVID and like everything's done from home.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. I don't have to go anywhere. I go in the shower, turn the hot water on, just sit there, relax, center myself.
Yeah.
Get myself in that mind space. I turn on the water. I'm letting it heat up and I'm looking at my phone and I put my hand in and the water's still cold. Like, all right, another minute.
That's the worst.
Put my hand in, still fucking cold. And like, I look in the mirror, like, can I go without a shower? And my hair is everywhere. I'm looking grimy. I'm like, I cannot have this meeting looking like this. I'm going to have to broken webcam this.
Dude, and cold showers, there's like something wrong with them.
Yeah, like, you're just more pissed when you get out of the shower.
Yeah, like, some people enjoy them.
I don't.
And I think there's something wrong with those people. Like, if you enjoy a cold shower, you got to stop listening to this podcast right now. We don't want your money.
I took a hypothermia-inducing quick shower.
Oh, dude, it's...
was pissed the rest of the day. And, like, I had to go to this meeting, make a phone call. Like, I couldn't make a phone call to get them to address it. I'm like, hopefully, like, maybe they just, like, someone else is going to call and it's going to be fixed before it becomes my problem. Then my fiance wanted to take a shower like 3 hours later. I'm like, yeah, about that. Hot water didn't work earlier. I'm going to check it now. And she's like, what?
Yeah, you know, she's probably pissed because you didn't call it in. And you just left it for her. Because I do that all the time. Like, something will be broken and my girlfriend will be like, no, like, I won't do anything about it. She's like, hey, did you call that in? And I was like, no, I thought you were going to call it
in. You were going to take care of that.
She's like, why would I do it? I wasn't home the entire day. I was like, oh, I don't know.
Well, because the only thing I hate more than broken shit is having to call people.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like a phone call.
So I, of course, ended up calling and they were like, you know, for, you know, a maintenance complaint, press 1. For a maintenance emergency, press 2. And I'm like,
100%.
This is an emergency. So I call, leave the voicemail. They call me like 2 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, so hot water doesn't work. And he goes, okay. I'm like, can you get someone to fix it?
Please fix my hot water.
And he's like, right now?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you need to come out and check this out. And he's like, can't you just wait till tomorrow? I'm like, no, asshole. I need hot water. I just want to take a shower and go to bed. I'm
like, listen, you don't know how bad my life is. All right. You understand where I live.
So... like an hour later, still nothing. I call again. He's like, yeah, I'm coming. He shows up probably 20 minutes after that. Walks up, knocks on the door. No mask. I'm like, what do you want, man? And he's like, you said your hot water is not working? I'm like, yeah, the hot water isn't in here.
Yeah,
and he's like, I know. I just wanted you to know that I'm working on it. I'm like, that's great. As long as it turns on, we don't even have to have a conversation.
Yeah, you could like throw a dead fish in my window. Let me know that way. I don't care. As long as I have hot water.
Exactly. So he goes down to like the basement area to go address that and comes back 45 minutes later. And he's like, yeah, that's broken. I'm like, yeah, man, I could have told you that. There's no hot water.
I'm the one that called you to tell you it was broken. So I know it's broken.
I'm like, what are we going to do to fix this situation?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to go play with it. Which gave me zero confidence.
What was he doing for the entire 40 minutes that he was down there? Was he not playing with it? Did he just fall asleep? Was he drawing in a coloring book for that amount of time? Because it sounds like something he would do.
He comes back like a half hour later. And he's like, hey, so, it's broken. I'm like, yeah, man, we established that.
Everybody knows.
Everyone knows it's broken. And he's like, yeah, and, I can't fix it. I'm like, okay. Well, I know there are, like, people that can. Like, that's how you got it in here.
He's like, yeah, there's people that can fix it. I'm like, okay, so where do we go from here?
what are we doing, man? Just, like, can't you call those people? He's like, well, we got these special ones, and they won't come out till morning. Which I think was bullshit to start with. I think they just didn't want to pay the extra.
Oh yeah,
to have the guy come out.
Well, you said
after
in a previous
hours.
Episode that no one's paying the rent, no, so exactly. Of course they're not gonna. Of course they're not gonna.
Extra.
Yeah, you're not even paying them. Why would...
Hey, I'm paying, which is why my call is the only one they'll actually respond to.
Yeah.
Anyone else in this building calls, nothing's gonna change.
Yeah, we'll so fix that, like, as soon as you.
He's
pay
like, yeah,
us rent.
They'll be out first thing in the morning, and. I had the day off the next day, which was supposed to be great. I'm like, by the time I wake up, there'll be hot water. I'll be able to take a nice long shower and just forget that it ever happened. I get up, go into the bathroom, strip down, turn on the water. And that shit's still fucking cold. Mm. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
That's rough, man. I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
So I call him again.
Yeah.
Call the emergency line. He just shows up at my door, knocking.
He's like, are we really going to do this again today?
And I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, yeah, they had to get a part. And I'm like, all right, is there an ETA? I just want to take a shower, please. At this point, I'm like inches from tears.
You're about to cry. You know, you probably like caused more of a delay because you were so mean to this poor guy. He just woke up from a nap. He's high as hell. Now he's got to come to your apartment. You're talking about the water. He doesn't know how to fix it.
He doesn't know what to do. They got the water on about 4 hours later.
You take a long shower?
Oh, God. I let the water, like, heat up. And, like, there's a lot of people in this building who are on, like, evenings or nights. So I waited until, like, 7 o'clock. And I used all of the hot water.
Yeah.
I used an industrial tank of water. So many fish were killed in the making of that show.
I don't think that's how it works, but man, if you're happy that you killed those fish, whatever you gotta do. Whatever you tell yourself. I don't consider fish animals.
No?
No.
Are they? They're not meat.
They are. They are meat. And I don't. You can say whatever you want during Lent, so you can eat them on Fridays. But they are meat. No, I just don't think they're, you know, like the stuff in the ocean. That's like a different domain. Okay, the animals don't live in the ocean. Monsters live in the ocean.
They do.
I'm terrified.
Yeah,
I am damn terrified of the ocean. I don't like going in it at all.
I was watching an episode of Ancient Aliens the other day.
Love that show.
Best show.
Very good show.
Great show. Because it's always like you're watching it and you're like, this is such a good history lesson. Like, they're going in all the details of like all this stuff that happened,
and then the guy's like, could it be aliens?
But what if? And you're like, get the fuck out of here.
Could it actually be aliens?
But they were talking about how there might be aliens that aren't actually aliens. They're just like on the bottom of the seafloor.
Yeah. I watched that episode, too.
And that terrifies me.
Oh, 100%. You know they're down there.
Can you imagine you go on a cruise that you didn't want to fucking go on?
Nope.
But you had to go on?
I hate a cruise, man. Oh, I hate it.
Nothing like being stranded in a confined area in the middle of the goddamn ocean.
Yeah, I don't like
to
that.
To say, let's relax.
There's nothing relaxing to me about a cruise.
You know when I realized cruises were bullshit and I never want to go on one? When that one cruise broke down in the middle of the Atlantic and they were airdropping spam and water bottles.
Oh, yeah.
I would be so pissed.
They ran out of all the beef Wellington, huh?
Yeah,
that's cool.
The plumbing didn't work. The whole thing was just shot to hell.
You
gotta
poop off the side of the boat.
And then when they got to port, they gave them all free like rain check tickets for any cruise they want. As if
like,
anybody on that ship would ever want to go on a cruise again.
It's like your cousin gets shot. So like they give you like a gun at his funeral. Like, here you go.
Here you go. Now you can participate.
Yeah, you can go shoot someone.
Can you imagine? Like, you know, there was one cheap bastard that was forced to go on that first cruise. Yeah. And he got the second one, and his whole family, like his wife and kids, are traumatized. And he's like, fuck you, we're going on the cruise!
We're going on the cruise. It's paid for, we're going on it.
The whole family's shaking in life vest the whole time. He's like, we're having fun!
Yeah. Smile!
Smile!
No,
asking
I really...
random tourists to take their picture, the whole family's sobbing, yeah, and he's just like, he's like, smiling, ah!
He's got his wallet. He's like, yeah, hell yeah.
This didn't cost me a goddamn thing.
No, I hate a cruise, man.
Yeah, I'm not interested. It'd be a horrible time to find out that you get motion sickness.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should know before you go.
Yeah, but like, it's kind of like one of those things, like, you don't know until you know.
Okay.
Until you've done it.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything's a little bit different. Like, I don't do well on roller coasters, but, like I've said before, I fly great.
Yeah.
Like, flying is the greatest thing for me. Like, you might like going on, like, your 20-foot speedboat or whatever in the middle of the lake, going super fast because you're only doing it for, like, 3 hours.
Right.
And then you're on a cruise.
I think it's, like,
20 days.
The boat is so big, though, that it's less.
Do you know what's bigger than the boat?
Rogue waves. I think about them.
I was going to say the goddamn ocean, but yes.
I think about rogue waves all the time. Like that movie Poseidon. I'm like, that's going to be me.
Yeah.
That's going to be me. I'll be stuck in that giant dining room. And then everything will crack and everybody will die.
Or, I mean, this is the medical episode. What if something happens and you need like medical attention and you've got the doctor who could only get a job
on a
doing
cruise
ships?
Yeah.
He's just been drunk since he graduated.
Yeah, he's literally never been sober. He doesn't remember any of the techniques.
Instead of wearing a the doctor's like coat, he's just wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Like
he's
unbuttoned. unbuttoned. He's got a deep tan white chest hair. And like a gold necklace.
And he's been doing this for 45 years.
Yeah. And you're like, that's the doctor? I saw him on the steel drum for 8 hours the other day.
Isn't that the guy who won the limbo? And they're
yeah.
Like, yeah, he's really good.
He just does that all the time.
Like, how is he as a doctor? Eh.
We don't know.
You got a cut. He's doing like baseball stitches because that's the only one he knows how to do.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man.
Love that. No, you'll never catch me on a cruise.
No. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a huge, like, I like to travel, but I reach a point.
What do you mean?
Where, like, I just want to go home.
Well, yeah. Like, eventually you want to go home. You don't want to keep pooping in strange toilets with, like, bad internet.
Like, that's where your brain goes.
No, that's what I think about. Like, it's you can't get comfortable, you know?
I hope to one day be rich.
Rich
enough where I can be like in my rider. It's like, and my toilet.
I have so many great stories about me traveling and the bathroom and like just, you know, other stuff that I can't fit into this one today because I think we're almost done, but
yeah, just about.
Yeah, so we'll save that for another time, but some of these are just,
oh yeah. I truly hope that someday I get to ride a rider. Because I'm going to make it insane.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that is.
A rider is your thing in your contract where it's like, and if you want me to actually do whatever you ask me to do, you have to do these certain things. So
oh,
like the classic
like...
ones like the green, only green M&Ms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, yes, and my toilet needs to be set up wherever we go. And there's just going to be a guy and his job is just to... attach my toilet where there was a toilet.
Oh, like they'll take a toilet away.
They'll take it with me wherever I go because I want it to be ridiculous.
So like The Rock has his like gym semi-truck that follows him around and you'll just have like a
I'll
toilet.
Just have a toilet. I don't ever think I'm going to have Rock money.
Yeah.
I think I'll have
we'll
toilet
never reach
money.
His celebrity status. But we can get a toilet.
I think we could get a toilet.
You can get a toilet anyway.
Can it be like... a joint toilet, because that's going to be so
what do you
much
mean?
Weird.
What
so
do you,
weird.
What do you mean?
So
what
much
you,
weirder.
What are you talking about? All
right, look, so we do this podcast together, right?
Are you talking like
can we have
like a
two-person
toilet?
No, no.
Like
we
you,
have
like you'll sit
one
and then
toilet.
I'll sit facing the other way on your legs. I think that's called spidering. This is a real thing. People do this.
I don't think
anybody ever.
A lot of couples do this.
What?
A lot of couples do that.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Yeah. No, what I mean is, like, in our rider, we'll just have toilet. And it's like a toilet that we agree upon, but we realize we're not famous enough to each get our own toilet.
So we just need
one. So we just share one. Yeah.
That could be cool. That could be cool. If things keep going the way they are with India, we can get, you know.
We can get a toilet.
Yeah, we can get a toilet.
I'm here for this.
Yeah.
I'm here for this. Well, I think that's a good place to stop it. Spidering, you called it?
Spidering.
Okay, yeah. Look, anyone wants to fact check us on that, send us an email at tellingstoriespc@gmail.com.
Send us a picture. Actually, don't. I changed my mind.
We're definitely going to get a picture now. I want you to know.
I hope so. Just kidding. Or am I?
On that note, I'm John Paul.
I'm John. Please sponsor us. Like, please tell your friends.
Please, please I tell really, your friends. Share the podcast.
I really need this to work out.
You all have a good one, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye now.